It's very important that you don't mention pornography. Speaking underneath the Capitol Dome, it was incredible. And right before I got up to speak, I get up there to talk, and I mean, it's like literally 5 minutes before I'm going to speak, and some guy comes over and he says, "Hey, Pastor Burr, we're so happy you're here. I know that you haven't been briefed, so I need to give you counsel and just say, when you get up there, you got exactly 7 minutes and 15 seconds. This is going to happen, that's going to happen, and it's very important that you don't mention pornography, because we're not here to talk about pornography. We're here to talk about trafficking." And I was like, "What? Like, what do you mean I'm not able to mention?" And Leanna and I had just said, you know, we've been here all day long and we haven't heard one single person talk about pornography.
Yeah.
Not one single person.
Boom. Well, my friends, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. This is actually our 116th episode. And Psalm 116, what a verse. I love this. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. He's inclined his ear to me. Guys, 116 isn't random. It is the sound of a God who hears and who shows up. And when he steps in, chains break, atmospheres change. That is what we have seen since the beginning of the year. We're going on 14 days of our New Beginnings Conference. We're just saying the conference is continuing. The anointing is continuing, God. Guys, this is such an incredible season to be a part of. And we saw it yesterday was like all about sharing testimonies of the goodness of God and what the Lord has done. And he continues to show up and do incredible things. And so we're excited to talk about that today. And guys, today we're actually talking about what is the number six? What is six? What does that mean? But of course, me, Shay Wilbur, your host today, I'm not going to be the one breaking it down, because why would I break it down when we could have Pastor Troy, the one and only, break it down for us? So we're actually going to be showing one of his most recent messages from a few Sundays ago, which is the third message in his 26 series, where he talks about what is six, and it is so good. So if you guys missed it, you're definitely going to want to watch it. If you watch it the first time, you're going to want to watch it again, because I believe that the Lord is going to speak to you something new, something fresh today, because that's just how God works, you know? He just works like that. There's always something new. You know, every time I read the scriptures, I could read a verse a million times and the Lord will highlight a different aspect, a different word, a different something that will jump out to my spirit, that like rhema revelation. And I believe this is a rhema moment for you. So thank you to every single person who has tuned in today. We are so happy to have you. We have people tuning in from all over the world. Pastor Troy is still in South Africa right now. He actually was sending us pictures of giraffes this morning. So there's literally no telling where Pastor Troy is, what he's doing. You know, they've been rescuing kids, rescuing families. It's been an incredible trip. They're going to be back next week with some unbelievable testimonies. And make sure that you're following Pastor Troy and Leanna on social media, because they have been jumping on there. They've been going live. They've been updating, posting pictures from their trip and testimonies. And if you want to stay up to date on the latest, all the things, that is how you do it. Follow him, especially on X. Pastor Troy loves to jump on X and post things. So that's where you can get the unfiltered Pastor Troy, although he's pretty much unfiltered all the time. So anyway, you know, just follow us on all the socials. Rebecca, it's good to have you.
Yes, it's good to be here. I love what you said about new mercies, and I love Lamentations. Can I just read it?
Because yeah.
It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So His Amen. Mercies are new every day, and it's such a good day to be here. And
I'm
excited
is.
For day 14 of the conference.
Day 14 of the conference. I love it. And we have people joining us from all
yes,
over the world
we do.
Today.
We have Colorado in the house. Thank you, Ashton, for doing all that for us. We have Colorado, Melissa. We have Cleburne. I believe we have Argentina, Pablo. We got
Pablo.
Robin from Arizona, California. We got people chiming in. So don't forget to let us know where you're watching from. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like and share. I love to say we don't do this for the views. We don't do it for the comments. We do this because your word or today's word could be somebody's word that they need it today, tomorrow, mm-hmm. or for the future. So please ring the little bells. I'm forgetting all the verbiage for social media right
ring
now.
The bell, subscribe, share,
repost, comment, and be a media missionary.
Yes. And guys, we've got so much going on here in this house. Mm-hmm. And we started off this episode with a little clip from The Counter episode 6. That episode has over 100,000 views, which that is our most watched episode.
I know.
That's crazy.
So excited. I'm honestly just, we were talking about with Pastor Ryan yesterday and Frankie about the veil and just being lifted in the top being, is that how you say
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the veil's lifted.
The veil lifted and things are being brought to the light.
Yeah.
And people are literally saying, okay, it's time that we bring this to the light. No more, we cannot hide it under the carpet anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for what the revelation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so incredible. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't seen the sixth episode of The Counter, maybe Ashton, one of you or one of our moderators could put a link to that in the comments, but also you have to check out, if you missed it, last night's after show hosted by Joseph Z. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, guys. It was so good. It was amazing. And a lot of you were engaging. And so that was last night, but you can always go back and watch it. And as always, if you have questions as you're watching, put them in the comments, leave a comment. Even if we're not live anymore, leave a comment because we go back through them. And then when we're filming the next after show, we will try to answer those questions. So please be sure to do that. Make sure you're up to date on all the things, guys, and continue sharing The Counter. This show has been so, such an amazing, God has used it in such an incredible way. You know, it was an idea that the Lord put on Pastor Troy's heart to talk about things that many people in the church are afraid to talk about. And especially episode six was one of those episodes talking about human trafficking, pornography, Baal worship. I mean, they, nothing was off limits and they went there. And because of this show, we have had over 2,000 new subscribers to our ODX platform, which means we can rescue more kids. Guys, we can rescue more kids with that money. And we are going to do that. We're believing that this year we're going to rescue more kids than ever. We have a bunch of things in the works that we haven't even announced yet that we are going to, that are going to hopefully help us enable rescue more and more kids than ever. So I'm just, I'm so excited for what's to come this year. And when you join us as a partner at ODX.TV, you are a part of that. And so thank you to every single person who is new to our tribe. We love you. And we're really excited. We have some really cool updates too.
Yes, we do.
You know, yesterday we talked about that, the family from Uganda. And today we're going to talk about Mexico.
Oh, look at that family.
Yeah, that was the family from Uganda. So that's a mother, two of her biological children. Four of those kids were orphans. They were all being sold for like $3. Pastor Troy and Leanna heard about this.
Yeah.
They went and found them. They paid $25 for all of them, put them in a van and drove them off to
safety. Weren't they being sold for $3?
Yes.
$3. I couldn't believe it. $3. And now we're rescuing families.
I know. I love that. Rescuing kids to rescuing families now. Yeah. And we're building them a home. And that's just a little taste of one of the testimonies. And every time we talk to Pastor Troy, he's like, I can't wait to tell you guys. I have so much to tell you about this trip. So we're going to hear many more. But we have a testimony. And I think we shared it with you guys maybe last week about little Rudy from Mexico. Well, Suwanami and Pastor Brian were able to go and actually meet him. Oh my goodness. I love this. They were able to actually meet him. And I love what Pastor Brian said. He said this boy has been through a lot. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, trafficked and sold. And, but you would never see the signs of trafficking of that bondage on him.
Wow.
And it just speaks to true redemption, you know, and obviously we're getting him help. It's not like we just rescue kids and pray for them and expect them to be okay. No, we put them through all of the medical things. We help them with like psychologically and all. I don't even remember the number offhand, but how many psychological like therapy appointments we sent our kids to last year. There is a number because we keep track of all of those things, but we give them all of the medical help that they need. But this little boy, Pastor Brian was like, you would never know what he had been through. He was so excited to show me that he can read and just to interact. Like he was so excited. And I think that's him showing, him showing Pastor Brian how he's been learning English.
Wow.
And I love that. It's so cool. And another really cool testimony we have from that trip is we had an organization that outfitted us with 10 new computers for our home. And look, these computers are going to be used for learning, for other like extracurricular things like games and stuff like that. But they also have all of the protective safety on them because of course what these kids have come from.
Correct.
We need to be extra, extra sure that when they go online that they are secure, that they're safe and protected. And so I love that. That's so incredible. I just love, that's one of our homes there in Mexico. I've been there many times and it's so cool to see. I think the first time I went there, you know, it was furnished and, and there was beds and things, but the more pictures that we see more toys. Now we see computers and we see it truly is such a home.
I just love to see how we've expanded and the things, how you said there was beds and there were things, but because of your partnership and you partnering with us, we are able not only to rescue them and give them medical help and give them, like you said, going to therapy, but we're actually able to teach them. We're actually able to have a classroom for them.
I love it.
Actually be able to just say, hey, no, we rescue. No, we're going to teach them from the beginning of the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see that.
Yeah.
Everybody that's partner, every single person, thank you so much for what you're doing. Look at what God has done and what God will continue to do. And if you're just tuning in right now, I just feel in my heart, partner with us. With what you give, what you sow is sufficient. God will multiply what you have in your hands, but he's asking us to step out in faith. And I want to encourage that when you step out and you partner with us, we are able to not only to save, not only to rescue, but now we're doing, we're rescuing families, but we're able to help and educate these children and send them out and be rescuer to the rescuer. So I love that.
Yeah. And we partner with them for as long as they need it.
Absolutely.
So we rescue and raise, which is so cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get into the word. Let's get into the word. You know, we've done this a couple of times where we've shown clips from a sermon, a recent sermon that people have really responded to and they love it. And it's so funny because when you see in the comments, people watching, they may have been here on Sunday, but God is speaking to them in a fresh new way as they watch it. So I believe that this word that Pastor Troy gave is for someone today. And I know that you're going to be blessed by this and we will be back with you at the end. On the other end, to kind of wrap it all up, to sum it all up, and to talk to you a little bit about what's going on tonight, which is really exciting. Don't go anywhere, guys. You what?
Brian Bolt tonight.
Brian Bolt. Brian Bolt's going to be here tonight.
We have something tonight.
Yes,
Brian Bolt.
Brian Bolt. Pastor Brian Bolt is going to be in the house tonight. Ooh. We love him. He's so much fun, and he's going to be here in person at Open Door Church. So if you can't make it tonight, make sure you tune in online. But with that, guys, let's check this out. What is six? Coming right from Pastor Troy. Watch this.
Part three of my sermon series is called 26 for obvious reasons. That we've moved into a time that is different. And I mean, everything changed. As soon as we got into this new year, things begin to change. And I believe for those kinds of things because the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that he changes the times and the seasons. And he causes kings to rise. And he causes kings to fall. And that is literally taking place throughout the world. And I know that this is a year of kings rising, and that speaks to every single one of us that we move from. There's a way that we operate with God that is a prophet, a priest, and then also a king. And as priests and kings, it's very important that we tap into the wisdom that goes with being a king. A place where you have dominion, a place where you have a say-so in something. And the Lord is going to do a great work with you concerning you this year in the rising of kings. But on a national level, man, you can see it all throughout the world that literally governments are being shaken and things are changing. And I recognize that as far as the kingdom goes, that as a leader in the body of Christ, I got to be able to point to the things that are kingdom. And I got to say, friends, the kingdom of heaven looks just like that. And if I'm trying to build my own personal empire, like so many Western churches are, I won't even bother with the inconvenience of the kingdom because I'm not a kingdom person. And I want to tell you this, guys, before God Almighty ever wants to build your ministry, he wants to build the man first. He wants to build the character of the person first. And he's constantly working upon the character of leaders. And he's disqualifying people that have the talent, but they just can't hang. They can't keep their pants on. They can't point out kingdom things. They can't get excited about kingdom things because it interferes with what they are trying to build in the name of Jesus. And in so doing, they take the name of the Lord, their God, in vain. They carry the presence of God in a way that is vanity. And I want to tell you guys, I'm actually really scared of that. I fear the Lord when it comes to these things. These are things that I judge myself about all the time and things that I think about, like, am I really representing the kingdom or am I representing my own cause? Am I doing the kingdom stuff? Do people's lives look more like heaven than they look like hell? Is this legit? Because I know my shortcomings. I know how flawed I am. I know how messed up I am. I see all of my TV stuff that I do in the week, and compared to all the people that are on the screen, I never feel like I belong there, ever. Always feel like they're going to figure out what a yahoo I am and they're going to unplug the camera. But what's cool is everybody already knows what a yahoo I am. ain't nobody got nothing on me because I tell all of my own stories. But what I do have, and I have to own up to the I have to own up to the impact and responsibility of this, and you have it as well, my friend, is I really do have Jesus in my life. And Jesus is so real in my life. And I don't ever want to try and diminish that in the name of some kind of false humility that I have because I don't feel like I belong, I can hang with whoever it is or whatever circles that God is inviting me into. I just want to bring Jesus into that. I just want to keep it real and genuine. There is a hunger for things real and genuine and bold and brave in the body of Jesus today. I thank God, I understand, you know, I promise you, I understand this, and I do better than maybe some in that the seeker-friendly movement in the body of Jesus was actually born out of a heart for evangelism. And it was. Bill Hybels, the guy who actually is most responsible for that, years after churches begin to say, hey, look, we're not even going to call ourselves successful unless we have a room full of unchurched people in our church and, you know, we are helping those people. What actually happened through the seeker-friendly movement is we turned our churches over to the enemies of God and we called woke righteousness. And we feminized the church and felt men just became ashamed to even go to church. And we went through this whole deal where we said, well, hey, look, we're not going to offend anybody. We just want to make sure that people feel comfortable. We want to make sure that people feel safe. Okay, well, the gospel of Jesus, the true gospel of Jesus, will make you so uncomfortable that you have to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit, your comforter. And God Almighty does not call you into safety. He calls you to be a lamb among wolves. And we lost it. And Brother Bill Hybels, who is a great man of God, actually came out and he repented and he said, it didn't work. It didn't go the way that I thought it would go. And he repented. And I feel sorry for him because he was truly after a heart of evangelism. He just wanted to reach people for Jesus, but he had no idea how fragile the American church was. Well, boy, I did. And what I see today I want to go back to COVID and say that COVID really exposed how weak the church was and how quick we would be willing to fold if people said we were haters. When Black Lives Matter and other demonic communist organizations rose up, how quickly churches folded to the enemies of God and said, well, we'll just turn this over to you because we don't want anybody to call us a hater. When the whole trans agenda and when the gay men's choir of San Francisco came out and said, we're coming after your kids. You remember that song they sang? We're coming after your kids and there's nothing you can do about it. We will mess with their minds and make them so confused. They will leave you and they will run to us. And then through the Biden administration and through the help of friends, of people who are not the friends of families, when they introduced all that doctrine into the school system, it began to work. And the body of Jesus, instead of standing against that, number one, was shut down because we were told you're not allowed to worship. Strip clubs were still open. Liquor stores were still open. But it was much too dangerous for the people of God to gather together. And I sat there and I watched that and wonder and went, wowzers. It was like a Twilight Zone. But since that time, oh, and by the way, churches begin to, next to the Christian flag, they would fly a trans flag. They begin to even turn over children's church to monsters in dresses who wanted to sexualize their children. And meanwhile, the church had, for the most part, had an attitude of, well, we can't get in trouble because we've taken on this seeker-friendly model. which says we will not rock the boat. We were conditioned and brainwashed, and we were prepared to let that mess happen. But I got good news here today. This is not the year 2020. This is the year 2026. And the lions are rising up. Come on. The spirit of David is here, and the anointing of King Jesus, that the anointing of the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit that fell upon the kingship of King Jesus at his baptism, where God Almighty marked the word David on it when he said, "This is my beloved son. Beloved is David." This is the David anointing is here. And I tell you guys, this is a year of kings rising up. This is a year of lions roaring. And we had better take advantage of this time while we are here in this true season. Time is short, my friend. So I started in the first Sunday, I started preaching how that if we're going to look at 26s in the Word of God, which we're a bunch of weirdos and we do that. We actually believe that the numbers are not random. We believe that that there's also a message within the numbers because God Almighty is the one that numbers and names things. And 26 is where you find the name Yahweh. And you will remember that message. And if you haven't, please go back, go to odx.tv and watch it, or go to my social media and find it and watch it. And if you watch it on ODX, don't forget all of my sermon notes are there, including today's sermon notes. Is there even today? All right. Yahweh is 26. The name Yahweh is actually also the number 26 because they do not use numbers or numerals. They actually use letters for numerals. And he showed up to the 26th generation after Adam, and he saw a man by the name of Moses. And for the first time, though he had been revealed as El Shaddai, though he had been revealed as other names, for the first time, this name Yahweh shows up. And it's a very personal name. And the name Yahweh means a lot of different things, but it means I'm the breath that you will live by. And it also means you're going to get to personally know me in such a way that you're going to get set on fire with what I'm set on fire with. You're going to now begin to conform your heart to my heart. And my passion will now become your passion. It's when you begin to love what God loves and when you begin to hate what God hates. And that, my friend, is called the fear of the Lord. And this passionate fire of God shows up in the midst of a bush of thorns. He shows up in the midst of a dry, painful place where there is no life. And that's where we see the heart of God. And that's where we see a destiny and a calling. That's where we see redemption. And he says, go tell Pharaoh, it's over. And don't mess with me. It's over. I'm going to redeem my people. I'm going to give them a destiny. I'm going to bring them out of slavery. I'm going to bring them truly now into redemption. And it's going to be good. It's the active involvement. It's the manifest presence. It's when God shows up. And when the Lord does that, bam, he likes to stamp the number 26 on it. Well, we find ourselves in a time that is also marked with a 26. And I received this as a sign of the times of how God Almighty wants to move this year. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 is the only verse in the entire Bible that has the numerical value of 2026. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You're going to have to focus on Jesus and not on the storm this year. I have a graphic for that. You're going to have to focus on Jesus and not on the storm this year. I don't think they got my graphic. Last week, I taught on the number 6 of the year 2026 because while I had spent a lot of time going through the whole thing of the 26, what's real is if you're Hebrew and if you're actually looking at the calendar, then you're actually going to focus on the 6. Now, the pay is the 20, and that is the mouth. It's the decade of the mouth. It started in 2020, and as soon as prophetically we moved into a time of what you say matters more than any other time. How you intimately know the Lord matters more than any time. What you speak, what you declare, what you pray matters more than any other time. You got to speak up. As soon as we declared that, the entire entire world was told, put a mask over your mouth. Don't think the devil doesn't understand this clock, because he does. The devil's not ignorant. The church is. Jesus said, my people die because of lack of knowledge. But I'm not focusing upon the pay as much as I am the 26, or in this case, the 6. Now, 6, I showed y'all last week, is a Vav. And I have a graphic here of the Vav. This is what it looks like. It's the year of the Vav, because every single letter, all 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, they have a phonic sound, they have a numerical value, and they have a prophetic symbol. The prophetic symbol is the nail, specifically the tent peg nail. And that has to do with what covers your house, and it has to do with expansion. It has to do with security, and it also has to do with authority over the enemy. So security, expansion, and the authority over the enemy. And those are themes that go with the prophetic symbol of the 6. And I taught on that last week, and how that this is the year to get it nailed down. This is the year that God Almighty wants you to be secure in the midst of a whole lot of insecurity, and that there's a special grace upon you for that. Now, these words are true all the time. This stuff is in the Bible all the time. But at certain seasons, there's a special grace for these things. A few months back, Pastor Brian Gibson was here, and we were in my office, and he said, Troy, can I just tell you something? I said, what? He said, I saw a new grace coming upon you right now to where you can get healthier than you've ever been before. And I went, really? And he said, yeah. And you know, I didn't miraculously wake up 30 pounds smaller or 100 pounds smaller in my case. But I can tell you, I've lost about 30 pounds since that time. And the reason why I'm sharing that with you is to say, I believed that there was a grace for that that I hadn't had before. I was like, you know what? If that word is going to be spoken on me, I will conform my life to that word. It's one thing, man, for God to give you the word. It's another thing, man, for you to conform your life to it. And I just started losing weight, and I started getting healthy. And I was like, wow, I'm just going to obey the prophetic word that came upon me. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. These words are true for every year, but there's a grace for you to walk in it this year. A supernatural ability for you to walk in it if you will heed the word of the Lord and if you will conform your life to the image of God's plan. Today, I want to continue to look at the prophetic type, the shadow, the prophetic symbol of the 6, because this is the sign of the time of the right now. It's the right now moment. This is part of living a prophetic lifestyle. It's what I call an Issacharian lifestyle, where you're constantly collecting the dots so that you can constantly connect the dots. And when it comes to times and seasons, there's no greater tribe to look to than the tribe of Issachar. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, that from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times, and they knew the best course for Israel to take. Okay, so prophetically, they understood what the sign of the time was, and they said, hey, there's a grace for this, there's a grace for that. This is a biblical principle that goes all the way through the Word of God that sadly is not a part of Western Christianity. You know, we have been America first, and we have not been kingdom first. And I thank God for all the patriots within this room and all the patriots that are watching over the world. I praise God for you. Praise God. Thank you. But it's not enough to be a patriot. You have to be kingdom first. Amen. There's no hope for the United States of America if there's not kingdom first people who are also America first people. So God is faithful to show you the signs of the times in multiple ways and also in a plethora of layers. And friends, we're supposed to know the Kairos and the Chronos moments, when it's a right now thing or when it's an... We have to know when God is moving and the difference between times and seasons is the time, whenever a time changes, you move from one epic setting into another epic setting. My beautiful little girl is sitting right there on the front row, and I remember, you know, when she lived in my house. And man, she was a cool kid, I promise you. She was a cool kid. Funny, loves her daddy. And then I remember the day she moved out. And as a matter of fact, all four of my kids got married in the same year. Yeah. All the rats left the ship. I was like, don't y'all love me? Like, and it wasn't that they were leaving. It's all that cha-ching I had to cash out. Well, Leanna went into a time of wailing and mourning and sackcloth and ashes and gnashing of teeth, and her babies were out of her house. I went and bought a hot tub. That's a true story. I was like, no, see, we've entered into the hot tub years, baby. We moved from one epic time into another epic time. And I'm like, it is going to be epic. And it has been. And it's been wonderful. But I don't want to miss my times. I don't want to miss my seasons. When there's an epic shift where you pivot and conform to the right now opportunity, that comes from God Almighty's direction. So Jesus got onto the Pharisees of his day by saying, you know what your problem is? You don't know the signs of the times. It's Matthew chapter 16, verse 3. He says, man, you're so good. It's being able to look at the sky and determine if the weather's going to change. But you don't know when things epically change concerning the kingdom. And he's like, dude, you're going to miss your day of visitation. And indeed they did. So one of the most easiest and most blatant and obvious signs of the times is the number of the year. And friends, we are living in a time that number this year is a 26. And that's why we cannot be ignorant of the word of God. And we have to know the word. We have to know what the word of God says about these numbers. And today I'm going to finish on the number six. So let's just hop right into this. The number six represents mankind. It represents the enemy of the flesh and the mess of humanity. I go, that's not, I don't like that. Man, I do. Because while God is against the enemy of the flesh, God is also involved and he loves the mess of humanity. He is not afraid of the mess of humanity. He does not hate your humanity. Friends, when you become a Christian, you don't stop being a human being. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. No, God, and it is the greatest wonder to the both the holy and the fallen angelic realm. The greatest wonder to them is how in the world can he love those clowns? And he does. He's like, yep, that's a mess. And he wants to be involved in it. In the natural, the number six has this amazing pattern throughout history and in the scriptures as being God's watermark for an authentic production of the flesh. Now remember, if you're not saved and you're controlled by your flesh, you go into autopilot, you become the enemy of God. Because your flesh is selfish, 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 and there's nothing selfish about God. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is selfishness. Your flesh is always in fight or flight. It's always this far away from throwing a fit, and it's a mess. But with Jesus, your flesh becomes a move of heaven in the midst of humanity. Where yes, you can empathize because you're just as much of a mess, but here comes Jesus. And it's so important. Listen again, God doesn't hate your humanity. He just doesn't want your God to be your flesh. So we know that flesh is in total opposition of the Spirit of God. Public enemy number one that you have to fight is not the devil. The biggest enemy that you have to fight is not the world. The biggest enemy you have to fight is enemy. And I know this to be true. This is why, even though Sister Susie Rottenheart has called me several times telling me there's sin in your life, ain't none of y'all ever got that phone call from me. Would you know, so-and-so, yada, 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 you know about that. I'm the wrong person to call on that kind of stuff. I promise you. And I shut it down real quick. By the way, if you are the go-to for everybody's gossip, you're the problem. You are the problem. well, Pastor Troy, I'm just hearing so many people tell me that they're really concerned. I'm like, why are they telling you? Why are you the spokesperson for the mouth of the devil? How is it your ministry has come to actually honor hell and bring division into this body? I am the wrong dude for all of that, because I have the gift of real. I do. I love the gift of real. It's a supernatural power. Well, so people don't tend to come to me with their mess. And I want to tell you, there's not a single person in here that I have ever called and said, you know, I'm real concerned about this sin in your life. That ain't me. So-and-so tell me this, so-and-so tell me that. That ain't me. That ain't me. All my kids are adults. And I mean, they're not a single one of my kids have ever got a phone call from me since they left my house and me telling them, I don't like how you're doing this and I don't like how you're doing that. Not a single one of them. Oh, you're passive. Look at me. I'm not passive. No. I just know how to bring heaven, and I also don't want to bring hell. No, it's not weakness. It's not because I don't fool with things. But I'm a leader, and I can get stuff done. And how I'm not a leader is by becoming controlling, whining, sniveling, and giving place to people who are. Well, that's the flesh. And I want to operate in the spirit. And even though in the flesh, when I throw a fit or have a tantrum and I got to get my way, I feel like I've done something awesome. And it's not. Look at these fools in Minneapolis who think that they're actually accomplishing something because they're throwing a fit. Well, they sure feel like they are. They feel like they're doing something important because they're emotional flesh beasts. They're animals. The Bible calls them brute beasts. Like, yeah, they're animalistic in nature. Okay, I have the same potential. You have the same exact potential. And what's real, guys? Our souls and our flesh must be bishoped, because we've all got a six. Every single one of us do. We all got a six. It's funny, even in the human body, both of my daughters are nurses. And in the human body, just, it's amazing how many sixes are part of biology. When you look at the Bible, man was created on the sixth day. The sixth character in the Bible is the serpent. That's pretty cool. There's six words in Hebrew that we translate into the English word serpent. The sixth commandment of the Ten Commandments is, you shall not murder. Deuteronomy 5:17. The descendants of Cain only go to the sixth generation. There are six earthquakes in the Bible. Six times Jesus was accused of having a devil. Goliath had him six fingers. Among the Native American camps, there was so much Nephilim on this side of the world that whenever Native Americans would get together and say, I want to make a treaty with you, they'd make you show them that you had five fingers instead of six. So much Nephilim activity on this side of the world. They're like, how you doing? How? You got five or you got six? You go, what do you got there? I want to know what it is I'm dealing with. Well, the term fire and brimstone shows up in the Bible six times. The words yoke, the words destruction, the word shame, and the word abomination shows up in the Bible six times. If we were going to go through the human body, because the author of the body is also the author of the Word of God, it's the same exact author, there are six major members of the human body. The average body contains approximately six quarts of blood. In the average body, the blood travels 12,000 miles. That's 2,000 times six every single day. The average human heart beats 72 times a minute. And friends, that's 12 times 6. There are 60,000 or 6 times 10,000 miles of blood vessels within a human body. A lung weighs about 600 grams. The average lung capacity is 6 liters. There are 600 muscles in your human body. Are you seeing all these sixes? There's six primary systems within a human body: skeletal system, circular system, muscular system, nervous system, digestive system, and your reproductive system. The standard measure for a man is 6 foot. For everybody listening on the radio, I'm 6'7", blonde headed, blue eyes, I'm chiseled. Come out to the next conference and see me. The average weight at birth is 6 pounds. And when we plant you in the ground, how many feet down do you go, guys? Yeah, you can't get away from 6 in a human body. It's crazy. The book of Romans in the Bible is the only book in the entire Bible that has the word man in it. And 6 is the number for man. And Romans is the 6th book in the New Testament. And did you know that in the book of Romans, the 6th book in the New Testament, there are 6 scriptures that the 6th word is the word man? Shameless plug for Numbers That Preach by Troy Allen Brewer. Available now through Destiny Image. Yeah, that's Romans chapter 2, verse 1, 2, verse 3, 2, verse 6, 3, verse 28, 5, verse 7. And the 6th time in the book of Romans, in this, which is the 6th book in the New Testament, the 6th time that the 6th word is the word man is Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Like, God wants you to understand what he preaches when he stamps the number 6 on something. And this is the year of the 6. I think it's interesting to note, I don't have time to talk about the number 66, but there's 66 books in the Bible. And, you know, Route 66 used to be America's highway. The year that Route 66 no longer was America's highway is the same year that we took the Bible and prayer out of American school systems. We left Route 66. Let he who has an ear hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So the answer to your flesh is the Son of Man. It's when God shows up in the midst of humanity. And the word Son of Man is in the Bible 84 times, and that's 14 times 6. So open up your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 2. We're going to finish this up. John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, we had the very first miracle, or biblically recorded miracle. And I love John chapter 2. I love the book of John, period. And it says, and on the third day, stop. Everybody say third day. That means Jesus is stepping into resurrection power, and he's about to make it manifest. So on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. I love how it says the mother of Jesus was there. Now, John continues because John was super close to Mary, the mother of King Jesus. And so he always mentions her. And we find her later at the crucifixion. We also find her there at the resurrection. And then we find her there at the day that the Holy Ghost changed the world. She was one of the ones in the upper room. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to that wedding. And I want to say this. We're about to see the resurrection of power of God, and there's not anything religious going on. It's a wedding party. There's nothing religious. This didn't happen at the temple. Man, this didn't happen. You know, it's not some big epic thing. It's just something that's common in the midst of humanity. And now God is going to begin to show, Jesus is going to demonstrate his resurrection power and his miracle working wonders at just a common everyday event in the midst of human drama. That's it. And then they ran out of wine, verse 3, and the mother of Jesus said to him, hey man, they don't have any wine. Now I love how Mary, the mama of Jesus, turns to Jesus and said, we really need God involved in this. We've run out of wine thing. They were not Baptists. Because nobody, even though there's a lot of that going on, nobody admits it. They were not Pentecostals. They were not denominational. They're just being real of, okay, this is not the way that it should be. This is her special day. And all these people are here, and dadgummit, this is not the way it's supposed to be. We need to get God involved in this. Nothing religious about it whatsoever. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. I want to just just tell you this. Whenever Jesus asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's because he wants everybody there to know the answer. And so whenever the Bible translates that he calls her woman, it actually means he calls her ma'am. In Texas, y'all, we would say ma'am. But it translates here as woman. That's why some of y'all's translations, it says madam. It was like a respectful way to address her feminine gender. So he says, ma'am, I got two questions to ask you. And she didn't ask him any question. She just turned to him and said, you see they're out of wine here, right? Sometimes that's how you need to pray. Father, you see this. Father, you see it. And this is not the way it's supposed to be. And then if God asks you a question, he says this, if the question is this, you tell me, what does this have to do with me? Because this is nothing religious. I only move in church services, right? Why are you bringing this to me? I mean, we all know that God doesn't intervene in these kinds of things. Come on. And besides that, the clock ain't right. The timing ain't right. I mean, you guys know the clock. Everybody knows the clock. I mean, there's no way that I can step into this now. And I want to tell you, Mary had a very impactful relationship with Jesus because the first time we hear the words of Jesus, he tells her, it's time for me to preach. And she said, no, it's not. And now that the very first miracle, Jesus says, it's not time for me to preach. And she says, yes, it is. Mama knows the timing of things. Amen. Mama knows the timing of things. I love this. And his mother said to the servants, so now she's not going to answer him. She goes, I know what you're up to. You're talking to old Troy Brewer 2,000 years in the future. Yeah, they're writing it down. Okay, I am going to now turn to the servants. And she tells the servants, you do whatever he tells you to do. That's for us, ain't it? Because I want to tell you, if you want to see King Jesus do a miraculous work in your everyday mess of humanity, you're going to have to obey him, no matter how silly it seems. Because what's silly is, Jesus turns and he finds six water pots. And here's the six. See, this thing has got the six in it. It's the mess of humanity. It doesn't mean that Jesus is ashamed of it. It doesn't mean that Jesus can't work. It just means there's nothing religious going on whatsoever. It's everyday life. And he's wanting to bring his kingdom and his miraculous resurrection power into your everyday life and even the mess of it. So he turns to these six water pots and he says to them, he says in verse 7, fill those water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. What is that going to accomplish? What is that going to accomplish? And then he says, okay, I want you to draw some of that water out now and take it to the master of the feast and have him taste it. Let's see what kind of a judge is he going to be on this kind of wine? Now, at that point, you're like, okay, I'm going to look a fool when I go in there and say, the wine has arrived, the wine has arrived. And dude, you just brought that out of the well. Because Jesus didn't do that. He told them to do that. Now, let's just say that, because these are not even the disciples, these are the servants of the house. This is the bridesmaid. It's the people that helped the wedding. And he says, take that over there and tell him that the wine has arrived. Take it to the master and let him okay it before we give all this amazing wine to everybody. These are the same people who know for a fact that it is water. So in the midst of your humanity or in the midst of your six, God Almighty will give you a word. And you know this other thing to be true, but God Almighty is telling you to do something in spite of you knowing this other thing to be true. No, it might be true as far as a fact, but the truth is on the scene. Mario Murillo, who I actually became a friend with this year, one of my great heroes, he tells this story where God Almighty, he was minding his own business. He lived in L.A. He grew up where Leanna grew up at in East L.A. And somebody stole his bike, and He decided to go on a fast, and he was going to listen to God speak, and anything he felt like God told him to do, he was going to do it. And God gave him this image, the first thing he thought of when he woke up on this fast as a teenager, to go all the way across town. It's going to take him half a day to walk there, and there's this kind of, there's this, you know, little neighborhood gas station, and he felt like God wanted him to go there. So he said, okay, I said I would do anything God told me to do. So, man, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And he goes walking over. It takes him all day to walk there. And while he was there, he said he saw this old bike that was leaning up against, actually a new bike, leaning up against the wall. And he said the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him almost in an audible voice and said, steal that bike and take off with it. And he's like, okay, I can't hear God speak because I swear I just heard you say, steal a bike. One of the things I love when people say is, okay, you might hear God speak, but he'll never contradict his word. Bro, he will not contradict his word, but he'll contradict your understanding. And your understanding is not the word. Whatever God tells you to do, if you believe it's the Lord, do it. And so he said this, he had this anointing on him and just went, my God, I got to do this. So he jumps on this buck, and he takes off, and he's like, he drives all the way back, and he throws his bike down in his yard. He's crying. He's like, now I got to tell my parents that God told me to steal a bike, and nobody's going to believe me. I swear God told me to steal a bike. Oh, my God, I'm so screwed up. I'm a mess. It's because I haven't eaten, and I'm fasting. Oh, my God, I just stole somebody's bike. What am I doing? And when he looked and he threw it down on the ground, the paint had come off of it, and it was his bike that somebody else had stolen and freaking repainted. It was his bike, and he had no idea. It just had some new stuff on it. And he's like, that's my bike. I just reclaimed my bike that was stolen. So if you're going to see God Almighty move in the midst of your six, you're going to have to do whatever he tells you to do. So they do. They go over there when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine. I want to ask you this. When was it made wine? It was after they obeyed the voice of the Lord. What they poured into that dadgum thing was water. And they took it to him thinking it was water and going, okay, let's see how God gets me out of this because this is a big one. But I'm going to do what he told me to do. He's nuts. He's crazier than I am. Here it is. Just go. God, you're nuts. I'm ready to look a fool. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Here it is. And the guy went, holy mackerel. It's like, excuse me? He said, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. He's like, this is not according to the timing of things. You remember, we've already addressed that because Jesus said, this is not according to the timing of things. And Jesus, and his mama said, yes, it is. And then this guy says the same thing. He goes, okay, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to bring the best wine out first. And then you start putting the cheaper stuff. And you start at the top shelf. And you go a little bit lower, a little bit lower, a little bit lower, a little bit lower as the night goes on. He said, but that's not what you did. He says, you have kept the good wine until now. He goes, you kept a secret that you had something amazing that we have never experienced before, and you kept it a secret, and now you're bringing that out. Like, that is a wow. I've never even heard anything like that before. And the verse 11 in within your Bible says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, where he manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. I was with Pastor Brian Gibson last week, and he gives this word for the prophetic year, and I agree with it 10,000%. This is the year of the best wine. And well, at this late, you know, Troy, I'm already halfway around the dadgum track. It's too late to change horses. I'm already, hey man, at this late stage in the game, the best stuff was back then. No, the best stuff is not back then. This is the year of the six. This is the year where God Almighty gets involved in your common humanity in places where you're actually ashamed and you can't even believe that God will even show up in something like this. It doesn't matter what happens out in the world in 2026. I believe that this is the year of the best wine, the best of the best. God has a God's best miracle for you in places where you didn't know he would even show up. And there's a grace on you for that this year. God will do a miracle in your six, and he will turn common well water into the finest of wines. We fasted at the beginning of this year, knowing that we were fasting for the feast to come. There's a feast that is coming, y'all. I know what happens when God shows up with his six shooter. I know what he does. He shows up and he says, oh, you never saw me in this place in your life before? Well, I'm here now. Watch this. Bam! That's what he does. You got to do whatever the master tells you to do. Obeying a prophetic word is the key to unlocking your miracle for 2026. So I love what Pastor Brian says. This ain't a Boone's Farm year. I knew y'all would understood what I talk about. This ain't no Mad Dog 2020 year. I'm not bringing anything back up. I'm sorry. This is a Chateau Lafite Rothschild 2018 year, about $5,000 a bottle. It's the best in your worst. It's the goodness of God in the mess of in the mess of your humanity. How many of y'all can say, I receive that?
I receive
that. Then let's give the Lord a great big praise. I'm done. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I receive that. The goodness of God in the mess of my humanity. Praise the Lord for that. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord that the best is yet to come. Praise the Lord. This is the year of the six. God Almighty gets involved in our common humanity. His best miracle for us in places we don't even know he'd show up. He's going to turn the common water into the finest of wines. Amen. If you guys receive this word, I want you to put in the comments right now, I receive it. Or put the little praise hands. I receive it. Yes, Lord. What an incredible word. We had so many of you guys watching. Pablo, amen. I receive it. Dustin, praise hands. Love it. Man, what a good word. And I love seeing how many people we actually had watching that word. And I really believe that it was for someone today, for many of you today. And what just a great encouragement to remind yourself, like, God can show up in places that you least expect him to. You might be believing for a miracle in one area and God's like, hey, watch that. I'm going to do a new thing in this other area too. You know? And I love that. Sometimes our own desires limit what God can do. So let's just start asking, hey, God, just here's my life. You do a miracle, however, wherever you want to go. Wherever you want to work, God, this is yours. My life is yours. And let's believe that the best is yet to come. Right, Rebecca?
Amen. I'm ready. I'm ready for that word. I declare that word. I love all the comments. I receive it. Joe, Rhonda, John, say amen. Yeah. This is your year. This is a year of obeying God and taking that prophetic word and walking it out. And we've gotten prophetic words back to back. So this is a year that it will happen. So I believe that for you too.
Yes. Amen, guys. And if you feel like this is only the beginning today, if you still feel like your spirit is stirred, and even if, I don't know, maybe you just feel like you just need a little bit more, well, you can come right back here at 7 p.m. tonight.
Amen.
Because Brian Bolt's going to be in the house at Open Door Church. It's going to be so good. I cannot wait. He's so awesome. He's a friend of the house, and he's going to be here bringing a fire word. Rebecca is going to be leading worship with our awesome team, and Russell's going to be leading. Mm-hmm. It's going to be so great. So don't miss tonight, 7 p.m. right here, guys. It's going to be incredible. So thank you all so much for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow. Not tomorrow. I'm tired. Can you tell that I'm a little tired today? We will be right back here Tuesday and Wednesday, same time, same place, for much more, guys. And as always, we love you. We call you blessed. Don't forget, Brian Bolt. And we'll be here in just a little bit. And with that, we call you the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye, guys.